Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. We're continuing our look through the book of Hebrews as we continue our study through God's precious word. Here's Pastor Walt Lanier taking the Bible as it is to people as they are.
The thing that says to me, that this is to me in this verse, and that's why I'm going to underline it twice, to the saving of his house. He wanted to make sure at least his family was in that ark when the ark of safety, when the judgment of God would come upon this earth, that his family would be safe and they would be saved. Okay, all of you know, I say all, we got some visitors. I have 7 children. Every one of them are saved. I have 11 grandchildren, and the ones that are old enough to receive Christ, they've been saved. We're going to be baptizing one of my granddaughters today. Baptism doesn't save. You understand that. But what I'm pointing, isn't it wonderful that your family, my family, I give God the glory to them. My children are saved. My grandchildren are in the church, and they're being saved. And I've told you this. I talked to a preacher yesterday for an hour and a half on the phone. He called me. There's a lot of pastors who are really struggling, really struggling. Really struggling. I won't tell you who it is. None of your business. But anyway, and I just let him talk. He's had some serious problems. And after I just let him talk, I just listened. Then after he was done, he said, "Preacher," he said, "Pastor," he said, "I've done it. Now it's your. Why don't you talk? Give me some encouragement, some advice, right?" We put. So I. By the way, I took him to Psalm 37. Psalm 37 has saved my ministry twice, and I shared that with him. Psalm 37. Can I share something with y'all off the beaten trail? Psalm 37. This will help somebody here. It sure helped that pastor. When I started reading this to him yesterday, he started weeping over the phone. "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily shalt thou be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." Then I got him to verse number 6. And that's where it got him, because this is where I wanted to take him. "And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. The darkness of sorrow and slander will fade." There's things out there that are being said that are not true. And by the way, you know, people believe lies before they believe the truth. Winston Churchill said, "A lie will go halfway around the world before a truth can get its boots on." People just tend to believe lies. And so all kinds of stuff's out there on this preacher, and it's destroying him, his family and all. And I took him, and he shall bring forth thy righteousness as a light. In other words, in thy judgment, a new day, the truth will come out to everybody to see. When it will, I don't know. But eventually, it will come out. What does that have to do with Noah? He preached for 120 years. People laughing at him, joking at him. But he did that, if nothing else, to the saving of his house. He was going to make sure that his kids, and his wife. Boy, let me move on. That's good stuff, ain't it? We ought to be concerned as Noah was. Y'all know I went to school at Auburndale High School, so my tenses aren't. As Noah was, we should be so concerned about our own family. Our husbands, our wives, our daughters, our sons, our grandchildren, aunts, uncles. There's so much said there. So we see Noah by faith. This is a work of faith. I was going to read some of James, but I will. I got turn me to James chapter number 2, or Greg could put it up there. Greg could probably get it there. James chapter number 2, beginning verse number 14. "What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and have not works? Can faith save him?" Now we know that you're not saved by works. It's not what he is saying here. John Calvin wrote this: "It is faith alone that justifies, but faith that justifies can never be alone." In other words, your faith will produce works. That's what it's saying here. Verse number 15. "If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace and be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not the things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. In other words, it's inactive. He's not saying you're not saved. What he's saying is it's inactive. And it goes, he explains it a little bit better. Verse number 18. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Again, the works did not save him. Works does not justify you before God. It justifies you before man. Let that sink in. The difference between Romans and James is this. In Romans, you're justified before God. Remember, we looked at that. Now, therefore, being justified, we have peace with God. We looked at that in Romans 5:1. In Romans, it talks about being justified with God. In James, it talks about being justified before man. Man sees that work within you. So that's what Noah was, that preacher of righteousness, as we notice in as he was called. I have a note here, and I got time before getting to Abraham. Matthew chapter number 24. Jesus mentions Noah in the last days, and I want to correct some eschatology, okay? When people read Matthew 24 and 25, the Olivet Discourse, a lot of times they get confused and all, but you have to understand the context of Matthew 24 and 25. Jesus had just okay, some of y'all look at me like a calf looking at a new gate. Verse number 1, this is the context on the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus went out and just departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. Man, Lord, ain't this something? This temple, Herod's temple that he's built, and all the buildings around. Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you that there shall not be left one stone upon the other that shall not be thrown down. Verse number 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, his disciples came unto him privately and saying, they asked 3 questions. Tell us, when shall these things be? Question number 2, what shall be the sign of thy coming? And question number 3, and the end of the world. As they were leaving Jerusalem at the temple, and he was going across the Kidron Valley, going to Mount, I can just imagine the disciples talking among themselves about what Jesus just said. What do you mean that temple's going to be destroyed? What is he talking about? So they get over there, and Jesus sat down upon the mount, and they asked him these questions. When shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming into the world? And then Jesus answered them, and he begins that wonderful message, what we call the Olivet Discourse. Now, I said all that to say this. During that Olivet Discourse, in Matthew number 24, he talks about Noah, verse number 37. But as the days of Noah were, so also shall be the coming of the Son of Man be. Don't read any farther. He's not talking about the translation of the saints. He's not talking about the rapture. He's talking about the revelation of Jesus Christ. Let that sink in. Because if you get the background, verse number 29, and about the tribulation, and verse number 30, then there shall appear the signs of the Son of Man in heaven, and see him in the clouds of great glory, all that. He's talking about the revelation. But in the days of Noah, so also shall be the coming of the Son of Man be. Understand, he's not talking about the rapture or the translation. He's talking about the revelation when Jesus comes in his glory in Revelation 19:11. For as in the days of Noah, they, before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Verse number 39. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away. The flood took who away? Who's the all? The who? The evil people. The flood took them away. All right? So also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Again, let me go a little farther. Then 2 shall be in the field, one shall be taken and the other left. 2 shall be grinded in the mill, and one shall be taken to the left. Now, don't read any farther. A lot of people will refer this to the rapture, and you could put some of this stuff in the rapture because there are going to be some people taken and some people left. But he's talking about the revelation of Jesus Christ here. When he comes, who's going to be taken off of this earth? During the evil ones. Remember, Jesus talks about in Revelation, Matthew 25, the wheat and the tares. He removes the tares from the wheat. Are y'all following? This is yes, this is no.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious word. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly, is our prayer.